in the not too distant future from this recording, we'll be coming up on Mardi Gras. If you're from where I am, that's a big deal in New Orleans. Now, unfortunately, it's a big bad deal, the way that it's celebrated in New Orleans. But what is it? What is Mardi Gras? It's Fat Tuesday. What is Fat Tuesday? It's the last day that you could eat meat before the fast of Lent started the next day on Ash Wednesday. It was a big party, in other words, before the major fast of 40 days when you couldn't eat meat. So the other name for it is Carnival, which comes from the Latin words carne, vale, which literally means goodbye, meat. So we're saying bye-bye to meat. So that's why it's called Fat Tuesday. It was also called Shrove Tuesday, which comes from the old English word to shrive, to forgive, because it was a day to go to confession before Lent started. be that as it may, that's one example. Now, there are beautiful pious customs that surround the celebration, for instance, of Good Friday, processions in the street with the crucifixes, penitential processions, and so forth. And all of these things in the liturgical life of the year, in the liturgical life of the church, in the liturgical year of the church, had popular spin-offs in popular culture. So, and this affected everything. It affected the music. It affected the food. Obviously, if you're going to a major fast, then there are food items you're going to eat in the feast. For the vigil of Christmas, the Polish people eat this massive vegetarian meal as their only meal of the day on the eve of Christmas, and it's called the Vigilia. There are similar customs all over the world, and this is the way the faith becomes incarnate in people's lives. Now, in the ages of faith, when there was a certain stability and a certain consistency to these things, people looked forward to the Epiphany observances every year because they could do this 12th night thing. This was kind of something that helped to keep people attentive to truths of the faith. Now, it's not enough to enjoy your Mardi Gras. It's not enough to enjoy the feasting of Twelfth Night. In fact, there are always dangers associated with too much feasting, obviously. But if you're really attentive to the church's year, and even if you're relishing in the popular culture that surrounds it, you will also attend to the fasting. You will also attend to the penitential aspects. You will also go to confession. You will also, in other words, be drawn in to the practice of the religion that gave us such a beautiful popular culture. One beautiful thing that the church has, and it's not something from the patristic era, it actually has no equivalent, no strict equivalent anyway, in the Eastern churches, in either the Uniate or the so-called Orthodox communions, which are not under the Pope. They all do pray for the dead, but none of them have All Saints, All Souls Day, such as we have on November 2nd. And the All Souls Mass is used in a sort of accommodated form for the Requiem Mass that we use also in the Catholic Church. And this is a Mass for the dead. It's got black vestments. It's much more somber. All signs of joy and glory and rejoicing are stripped from it. It's kind of a bare bones liturgy in a lot. Even though it's got beautiful music, it's somber. It's you might say deathly. All expressions of joy are taken out of it, although there are frequent references to the resurrection. So it's not without hope. It's not without looking towards future glory. But it's extremely somber, and it's extremely mournful, and there's a serious note to it. There's an extremely serious note to this thing. Think of it being a child and growing up in an atmosphere where people really attend to these things. Instead of hiding children from death, which is too common today, we don't want children to know.